Faith offering clap. Amen. And we welcome those that are joining us, and thank you for being with us. Man, we're excited about this year. The Lord is all about you in 22. And what I mean by that is that He gave Jesus the greatest gift that could ever be given. He gave His Son, His beloved Son. And if He gave His beloved Son, according to Scripture, will He withhold anything else? And I'm telling you, He won't. If He's given us His best, He won't withhold the rest. And so I'm telling you, God has you in mind. Now, I want to tell you, when God has you in mind, it means that He has all those in mind that you love and that you touch and that you will touch. Because whatever God does for you is not just for you. When I say God's about you in 22, it means that you need to be first to receive. But when you receive, you're also receiving not just for yourself, but for others. And I want to tell you, that includes everything. I'm talking about spiritual insight. I'm talking about relationship. Your relationship with the Lord is going to affect other people. Your relationship with the Lord is going to affect everybody else you have a relationship with. And if it doesn't, it needs to. If it doesn't, something's wrong. The relationship's not real, or the relationship's not right. And all that can be fixed. Because Jesus desires you, and He's got you in mind. He had you in mind when He died on the cross. And so I'm so excited about you and sharing with you this year. And we've got a few sermons here at the First. If you haven't caught up with us yet, catch up with us. This is not a series. I'm just shooting some individual heartbeats at you and with you that I believe is the heartbeat of the Lord, because we want you to get off to a good start in 22. A lot of times the way you finish is determined by the way you start. And man, they used to say it to us in ball all the time, let's get off to a great start, get off to a great start. We get off to a great start, we'll finish well. And so I'm saying that to you. And I believe that comes from the heartbeat of the Lord, that He is all about you getting off to a great start in 22. And if you don't want 21, if you don't want 22 to be like 21, then something needs to change. Man, I shared with the leadership team this morning, and man, I was sharing my heartbeat on some things. It might not have come across real syrupy sweet, but I'm sharing my heartbeat that, you know what, God's all about being involved in your schedule. And if we're operating in full of stress and anxiety, just like the world is, then something's wrong, because we have Jesus. And Jesus said, bring your burden unto me, and I'll give you rest. And He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if we're affected the same way the world is, we need to change something, because we have the source of peace Himself in us. And so a big part of it is enjoying His peace, being still enough to receive His peace. But then another part of it is receiving the Lord's wisdom to change your schedule. Let Jesus be in charge of your schedule. Well, that's a great idea. And that might make a heaven of a difference in your life. Okay? Well, I'm just telling you. Beautiful Blonde and I had a real day of rest yesterday. And I just celebrated it all day long and mentioned to myself a few times, you know, God knew what He was doing when He said we ought to have a day of rest. Man, way to go, God. Now, if you're regular human that has Jesus, and most of you are, then you're going to have times in your life where that you can't sense God. You're going to have a time in your life where you can't get a chill bump. You can't have, your godly emotions are not tuned in. And you're going to have times in your life, and I explain it like this, and I've actually did a sermon series back a few decades ago that actually was pretty well celebrated, but it was something about the Christian journey. And in the Christian journey, sometimes you have tunnels, dark tunnels. And in those dark tunnels, you can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel, you can't touch, you can't taste God. And what do you do when you're in a dark tunnel? You say, well, it's something's wrong to be there. No, something may be right to be there. Sometimes the things we experience on this journey is not because, and you know, this whole thought becomes that the body of Christ has a sin consciousness, which really we ought to have a Savior consciousness. But because we have a sin consciousness, we have a tendency to think that everything that happens is because of our sin. No, that's not true. Your sin's been covered, your sin's been forgiven, your sin's been forgotten. But I'm also here to announce to you, would you check on that outside for me right quick, James, please? I'm trying to give you a signal to check on. Just walk outside and check for me, please. I try to give the leadership signals when I see something, okay? We're very aware, very alert. Didn't want to interrupt the sermon to do that. Sometimes in this dark tunnel, you can't see or sense or hear. And, you know, sometimes even in the dark tunnel, I've explained that there's a curve in it that you weren't even expecting. And it doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. You may well be doing something right. And sometimes the attack we get or the valley of the center of darkness that comes in our life is not because we've done something wrong. It's because we've done something right, and it's resistance. And sometimes it lasts for a season. You're looking at a man that doesn't understand timing. I don't understand timing sometimes, but I'm here to tell you this. Jesus has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so I have been enjoying the prayer of Jabez. I did a sermon on Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, just a few weeks ago. We're challenging our people. I'm challenging you to pray the prayer of Jabez for the whole month of January and to do it on a daily basis and do it a number of times a day. And it's not, I'm not giving it to you as something just to quote or to recite in order to make something. A prayer is to connect with the Lord. But I'll tell you, it's very, very powerful to pray Bible prayers. And this is a Bible prayer. Now look, I got a little Tim version I put on it. Because I've told you that every time we look in the Old Testament, we got to do it with New Testament glasses. But it's very, very important that you see things from the cross and from a New Testament point of view. And so I've added a couple of things to the prayer of Jabez. Let's see if we can get that up. Is that coming for me? It's coming, they said. Okay, and I want you to repeat with me, not after me, and we're going to say this, and let's just do this together. And this is, like I said, a little longer than Jabez's version, but I want to tell you, I kind of got a hint from the Lord this week. Jabez would have no problem with this prayer, all right? He would cheer about it. Okay, let's do this together. I call upon your name. Jesus, you are my blessing. You have given me high favor. I receive your increased blessing to be a blessing to others. Your presence is within me. I receive your divine protection to protect me from the evil one and evil ways. I have wisdom and discernment. I choose abundant life. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is my yes. Let's give the Lord a shout. Amen. Now, part of the prayer of Jabez was recognition of his presence. And I want to tell you, it's important for us to recognize his presence. And you know what? Hey, look, we're to be a people of faith. And you recognize his presence, his promises. Everything in the kingdom operates by his love and by faith. That is the economy of the kingdom of God, is love and faith. And so I'm telling you, it's very, very important, even when you're going through a dark tunnel, is to continue to reach out to him. Continue to call out his name, to call upon the name of the Lord, to continue to believe, to continue to speak those words of faith and words of hope, continue to speak those words of love, and let that be your prayer, and you can have that in that prayer of Jabez, just like we teach you to confess the confessions of a new believer in the New Testament. Let's do this month, and let's practice this. But even when you're in a dark tunnel, practice reaching out to the Lord, because the Bible says those that continue to seek shall find. Those that continue to knock, the door shall be opened. Those that continue to ask will receive. And so I want to tell you, it's important to persevere, even in dark tunnel, even if there's been a curve. God hasn't left you. It's just for a season. It's temporary. And reach out to Him. You may be saying, God, where are you? Have you ever prayed that prayer? And it's okay. We practice a high level of openness and honesty. But I'm here to tell you, there's been some battles in my life where I felt like I was going under. And I cry out to the Lord, Lord, where are you? Like, you know, David prayed those kind of prayers. And Lord, I'm dying and crying here. Where are you? Have you ever felt that way? Well, if you've never felt that way, then just keep your seatbelt close, because you very well may in this journey. He is a promise-keeping God. He is a loving Father. He cannot lie. He's always present with that never letting you go type of love. The Bible calls it unfailing. We fail, but He don't. Even when we fail, He does. Don't you love that? Even if you're in a dark tunnel, and even if you cause the dark tunnel, He's never left you nor forsaken you. He's there. We got to go deeper. In these days, because I believe we're in the last days, we in these days have got to have a deeper walk with God than I need a feeling. Okay? Now look, I shared with our saints at the Mountain Movers meeting this week that, man, it's so much fun to get those God winks. You know what I mean? Those signs and those manifestations of how the Lord just loves on you. And, you know, He chases us down with His goodness and unfailing love, His loving kindness. And it's so much fun to get those confirmations of love and those love gifts and those love expressions. But I want to tell you, even though we are to enjoy those to the most, that's not the foundation we walk on. Okay, it's got to be deeper than that, okay? It's got to be based on the Word of God. If your walk is based on the Word of God, then those God winks are so enjoyable. As a matter of fact, you'll see more of them because you'll recognize them. But I want to tell you, if you're trying to walk and your foundation be something in the emotional or sensational, I want to tell you something. You're going to be, your life is going to look like the Texas roller coaster, the Texas Giant. I was trying to think of the new one. The Texas Giant. And it's going to be up and down and all around. Okay? But I want to tell you, if your walk is based on the solid foundation of the Word of God, then it doesn't matter if you're in a dark tunnel or not. You know that you know that you know in your knower. You're convinced and you're persuaded. Boy, I'm speaking Bible to you. That God has you. God's got you. Okay? And He's promised to never let you go. And He's promised to see you through. And whatever you're experiencing, no matter what the tag or title is, or no matter what it feels like, even if it does feel like you're going under, I want to tell you something. God's got you. Okay, He's got you back. Jesus has got you slack. And the Holy Spirit keeps you from getting hijacked. Okay? And that's how good He is. And so I'm telling you, I understand that it hurts. I understand you feel alone. I understand what all those feelings are. But I want to tell you, just like our walk with God's got to be deeper than the good feelings, our walk with God has got to be deeper than the bad feelings. Man, that'll preach right there. I think I will preach on that. We got to get deeper. What does the Word say? I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what other people, what humans are saying. I don't care what the world says, the media says. What does God's Word say? Because it's His Word that's faithful. It's His Word that's ever true. There was a young woman in the Bible that could have described this dark tunnel in the crisis that she was in, because it wasn't just about her, it was also about her nation, her people, Israel. And she was in one of those dark moments, and this one of these where we would say, where's God at moments. Her name's Esther. And her story begins in captivity, and that's okay, isn't it? Because I want to tell you, the New Testament says Old Testament's pictures for us. And I want to tell you, her journey started in captivity, and we ought to say, oh yeah, because you know what? Your journey starts in captivity too. Before you come to Christ and He sets you free from the power and punishment of sin, I want to tell you, we were born slaves to sin. And so, boy, I'm telling you, we could stop right there and I could have a lot of fun with that, but here we go. She was born many years after the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, but that they were once again, okay, once again, you know, they had this tendency, they would, you know, be happy with the Lord, and then they'd get disgruntled, and they'd complain, and they'd get to focusing on themselves, and the next thing you know, they'd be in bondage. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Well, we could name individuals. We don't do that. But I'm telling you, this fits. But here they were once again under the rule and persecution of another people. And it looked like, get this now, it looked like God had abandoned them. Because He was nowhere to be found. But I want to tell you one of the truths that the Bible presents about your God and my God, about Jesus Christ, is that He's omnipresent. Omnipresent means He's always present. And the Bible says, if I go down into the depths of the deep, if I go down, He's there. If I go to the heights, He's there. There's nowhere you can go, nowhere you can be. He's there. So what are you going to do when you can't touch, taste, hear, or feel, or see God? When He seems so far away, you can't get a grip? Let's learn from Esther. And let's get a picture here. When you read the book of Esther, it may shock you or surprise you that you can't even find God's name anywhere in the book, not even once. Did you know that? I don't know if you did or not. I didn't get an answer on that, but that's okay. It shouldn't bother you because His character is all through the Scripture. His provision is all through the Scripture. His protection is all through the book of Esther. And so we see God. We just don't see His name. So even when there was a nationwide law passed to destroy Esther and her people, the Israelites, not even when evil people in power planned to sabotage and kill Esther's closest family could they see God or hear God or feel God. In the moments they needed God the most, it looked like He was nowhere to be found. Well, I heard a little bit of it here, but I know behind this camera there are people that say, wow, you know, that describes me. Well, I'm telling you, there's so much hope for you. God's love is so big for you, and it's so personal for you that He's whispering your name right now, and you just continue to hang on here for a few more minutes, and I want you to catch a picture of what God wants to do for you. Hey, if you've never experienced that gut-wrenching, heart-sinking feeling, you probably will. Because it's something as humans that we become very familiar with. But before you lose hope, before you quit, before you holler calf rope, before you throw in the towel, you need to know this. Here it is. God may not show up the way you think He should. God may not show up by your calendar. He may not show up by your watch. But He is more present and more active than you know. That's true. That's your God. So even though you won't find the word God or Lord in the book of Esther, His heart of favor for His people. Now, I want to tell you, the whole world can't claim this. People that don't know Jesus can't claim this. Because I want to tell you, the promises of God are based on covenant. Yes, they are. They're based on covenant. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that claim His name that don't know Him. And I want to tell you, for those people that claim His name, even though they claim to have done many things in His name, mighty things, and they call Him Lord, I want to tell you, if you don't know Him, I want to tell you, you don't get the benefits of the covenant. These promises don't work for lost people. They're for God's people. They're based on covenant. But if you're in covenant with God, He steps in. And what we say about God is true about you. because Jesus paid the price for you to receive all that he is and all that he has. Is that beautiful? I want to tell you, that's a beautiful picture in covenant. But you may not have ever had a supernatural encounter with God. I want to tell you, those are exciting. I've had some, and you know of other people that have some supernatural encounters with God. And the supernatural is, I want to tell you, that's pretty exciting. But I want to tell you this, your loving Father is very present, ever caring, doing much behind the scenes. If you ever have a supernatural encounter with him or not, I want to tell you, you accept him by grace through faith, not by an experience. And when you accept him by grace through faith, it's ever true. His promises, his presence is ever true for you. And when you hear of people having supernatural encounters or supernatural experiences, I want to tell you, you just say praise the Lord and smile, but don't ever think that you're not as spiritual as they are or that you don't have a tag to put on your chest, because I want to tell you what you do. Our journey is to brag on God and not our experiences. And I want to tell you, when you make sure that that's the case, it's amazing how many experiences you can be trusted with. But I want to tell you, whether you ever have one or not, Jesus said it very personally right there in the presence of Thomas, that blessed are those that do not see or experience this, but yet believe. And so I want to tell you, that counts for you. Even more blessed. Can you imagine? Well, that's very exciting. And so God is behind the scenes, and he's doing things that you don't feel. That's in your behalf. Important for you to know. Here's Esther's story. She goes from a beauty pageant to an impending genocide faster than a Mission Impossible movie or a Jack Ryan movie. I still ain't got the name right, but they're exciting to watch because they go from here to there in a hurry. And this is what happened with Esther. Here she is. She's just won the beauty pageant to become the queen. And here she is now, the queen of the king. And here she is. And all of a sudden she finds out, when she gets in place, that there's a plan, there's an evil plan to destroy her people, the Jewish people, the Israelites. And just as soon as her beauty steals the king's heart, all of a sudden she realizes that there's an enemy trying to steal her. And she discovers this evil plot to destroy her people. She finds out that her king has been influenced by his murderous advisor, Haman. Everybody say Haman. Everybody say boo. Okay, I did that for Mother Mary. It's important for her to know who the evil character is in the movie. When she knows who the bad guy is, she can enjoy the good. But I'm here to tell you this is very, very true, and it says something to us. I know that it's normal for us to look at the place of authority and say that's the place of power, but I'm saying to you, and it shows up in Scripture over and over again, that a lot of times the greatest position of power is the position of influence. And I want to tell you, you have influence. I don't know how big your influence print is, but you have influence. And that influence has great power and authority. And so she finds out that Haman, bad guy Haman, has tricked the king into signing off this decree into law that to massacre all the Jews on an appointed day. We see it in Esther 3:13, and letters were sent by special messengers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, to do away with all Jews, both young and old. You know, there are nations on our earth today in 2022 that would love for this to be fulfilled. Both young and old, little children and women, in one day, the 13th of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to seize their belongings as spoil. That was part of their motivation. And so it was a Holocaust plan. And it's set in motion. And guess who sends that kind of idea, that kind of plan in motion? That comes from the dark side. That comes directly from the devil. And I want to tell you, he's all about destroying the seed. His purpose was to destroy the seed. He knows from that seed the promise that Jesus was going to come. And so they're always about. You see it with King Herod. And when Jesus was born, destroy all the little fellas that were born in that area up to 2 years of age. And so, you know, it's always about destroying the seed. So Esther, the plan's already in motion. Hester has to decide whether she's going to hide her identity and be a silent Israelite, or whether she's going to risk her life by pleading her cause before the king. You say, well, hey, it's no big deal. She's a queen. She can step in there and she can straighten him out. No, 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 no. Don't take your 2022 Americanism and put it around the world. Yeah. Because that's not the way things operate in different cultures. You may say, what? No, no, it's no small risk. For her to even approach the king was punishable by death, to approach him, unless she was summoned. For her to approach without having an appointment, well, he kept his calendar pretty clear. He was in charge of his schedule. Because anybody that showed up that didn't have an appointment already prepared, then I want to tell you something, they were killed. If they showed up, okay, and they were frowning, they could be killed. And so there's always a lot of smiles around a king. But I'm here to tell you something, it was very, very important. The only exception for someone to show up without him requesting an appointment, the only exception for them to live was for him to take his golden scepter and reach it toward him. That was the exception. And so she was risking her life. You say it shouldn't have been a big deal. No, guess why? Guess why that there was a beauty pageant to start with? Guess why the king needed a new queen to start with? Oh, yeah. He knew how to take care of a disgruntled queen. Bye-bye. Ephesians 4:11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's providence know that any person, be it man or woman, who shall go into the inner court to the king without being called shall be put to death. There is but one law for him, except, here's the exception, to whom the king should hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But she says, she's given a report here, I have not been called to come to the king for these 30 days. The very reason that she was in her place was because there was a former that didn't cooperate. King's proven. This time, and if I had it lined up and it'd go well over the media, I'd have the Mission Impossible theme song right now. Because the crisis is now. And it seems God's nowhere to be found. It seems he's left the people to fend for themselves. You ever felt that way? God is more active in your life than you know. Esther makes up her mind, I'll go to the king, even though it's forbidden. If I die, I die. Esther 4:15 and 16. Then Esther told them to give this answer to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know what she was doing? She was crying out to God. Boy, the prayer of Jabez works in here, but she was crying out to God. All right? And boy, things happen when you are in covenant with God and you pray. The nation doesn't know what's happening, but God knows. And I want to tell you, this is a word for you, because according to the Bible, he's omniscient. You know what that means? He's all-knowing. All right, that's good news, because I want to tell you something. You may feel like that, you know, you've done something and nobody else knows. God knows, and he loves you anyway. He paid the price for your sin anyway. Okay? You may feel like nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody knows. God knows. He knows it very intimately. He knows it very personally. And he cares. All right? He's a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses and our struggles. He's all-knowing. And you know what? He knows how to get you through. When you say there's no way, the Bible says God makes a way even through the deserts. God makes a way. And so he's all-knowing. There's a big God standing behind this little woman of courage. And God's not going to let her down, and God won't let you down. Esther put her life on the line, and she entered the king's court. Now, boy, we see the providence of God. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the providence of God. I'm not going to go too far because I can do a whole sermon on that. But here it is. This she was depending on her God. All right, she wasn't depending on her beauty. She was depending on her God. She was praying and fasting, seeking God. Other people were praying and seeking God. And God was present. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. He knows the situation. He's omniscient. And God's all-powerful. He can work in your behalf in ways that you can't imagine. He's omnipotent. It means he's all-powerful. And he's able to influence the entire situation to his honor and glory. Now, I love this about, because you know what? There's a lot of talk sometimes about the sovereignty of God. And I want to tell you real basically and real simply, the sovereignty of God is supreme favor and authority. Supreme power and authority. And I agree with that 110%. Our almighty God, all-knowing, all-powerful, hey, always present God, he's power supreme. And you know what? He's supreme authority. Now, where religion takes it, that God doesn't, because religion will add things. Especially when we don't understand stuff, we'll tack stuff on. But religion adds a point that the Bible doesn't bring out. Religion adds a point that, you know what? God's so in total control that everything that happens is his will. Everything that happens is not God's will. All right, as a matter of fact, he gives us free will. Okay, he gives us free will. He gives us the opportunity to choose him. It's his will that all should come to Christ, but he gives us free will to say yes or no. Even in Old Testament, God said and lined out for his people, this is the way of blessing. This is the way of life. And I lay before you life and death, and I say to you, choose life. Okay? So every single thing that happens is not God's will. And it's wrong. I mean, I know insurance does that. They claim things to be of God. Jesus made it real simple. That, you know what? There's a thief out there. That's the enemy. And he has some authority and power on this earth to operate because Adam gave him the keys. We gave him the keys. Okay? That's when sin entered. That's when sickness and disease entered. That's when all the perversion entered. Okay? Hey, look, I'm telling you, Jesus said there's an enemy out there that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. And I want to tell you, that's the beauty of the Lord. And there's a whole lot more I'm going to say on that. I'm going to preach on it this year, so I'm not going to go too far. But I want to tell you something. When something evil takes place, that's not God's will. That's the enemy operating. And that's people that have a free will that's submitted to the power of darkness to do that thing. And so don't blame God for that. Boy, I get a little worked up on that. I'm going to try not to preach on it today. Just going to mention it. Okay? But God gives favor and wisdom and discernment and direction. He does that to his people. And you know what? He's promised to be that to his people. And when we ask whoever needs wisdom, ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. And for those that know him, he gives a liberal portion. And I want to tell you, it's very important that we submit to God, we humble ourselves to God, we say yes to God, and we get wisdom and favor. Now, walking in humility is very powerful. And you know what? I have a little trouble with some people because they get a little at me because, you know, I talk all the time that grace is free. But I want to tell you, the Bible emphasizes that when you humble yourself before God, you get more. And, you know, the question is, well, how can you get more when it's all free? That's God's business. Our part's to receive it. But this is what he said. He said when you humble yourself before him that you get more. And so I like to call it the superabounding grace is so poured on you that it's more than you can stand. Anybody interested in superabounding grace being poured on you and more than you can stand? Well, that's God's business, and it happens when we humble ourselves. And so humility is a very, very important part. I love it because this is something all of us can do. When we humble ourselves, I want to tell you, when our faith says yes to God, all things are possible to those who believe. And that ought to speak to somebody in your situation. Esther 5:4 said this, if it seems good to the king, this is what she said to the king, if it seems good to you, king, let the king and Haman come this day to the dinner that I have prepared for the king. She wanted to make a special dinner for the king, a special banquet for the king. And she invited him to the king, and he said, that's a good idea. So God gave Esther incredible favor with the king. Not only did he reach out his golden scepter to her, but what she appealed and asked and presented as a gift to him, he said yes to. So God, so she gets incredible favor with the king. That comes from God. Your favor comes from God. It's not your beauty. It's not your good looks. It's not your skill. It's favor of God. There's always somebody prettier, always somebody with better skill, always somebody better than you. But it's the favor of God. Let's remember where it comes from. That's part of humility, isn't it? She invited him and Haman. She invited this evil conspirator to her banquet, where she planned to expose the evil of Haman's plan and appeal for the lives of her people, to plead for them, to appeal for them. And the king more than willingly agrees to attend. Now I want to tell you something. She does not, let me tell you what she does not do. She does not go out in front of the palace and protest and get all the Jews to gather around and protest. I want to tell you why they'd all been killed. Now I want to tell you, I know your constitution gives you the right to protest peaceably. But I want to tell you something. Your Bible doesn't say that. What the Bible says, it gives us a system of appeal. All right? Hey, you appeal before God and you appeal before man. And you trust God for his favor, not only from him, but with man. And you let God do the working. But I want to tell you, this is not about protesting, it's about appealing. I want to tell you, when you go in, there's been a wrong at your job. Okay, and you go in, I want to tell you, you're a heaven of a lot better off to appeal to God for God's favor. Get a witness from the Lord. You go in with the right wording. You know she used the right wording here. And she went in with right wording, and you go in before your boss with an appeal. And you appeal before your boss, and then you know what? You back up and shut up, and you leave it to the Lord. And you allow the Lord to work on it. Don't go in there trying to make something happen. Don't go in there and start some kind of protest. Hey, look, I'm not talking to you about the rules of your employment. That's between you and your employer. I'm not talking about you and your constitution and your nation. That's between you and them. But I'm talking about your God. And I'm talking about the Bible way. And God's way is the best way. So what happens here, and let's just look at this, okay? She revealed, when the three of them at this banquet, God was there too. Understand, God's with you. Omnipresent. Remember, he's always present. With favor. He doesn't come with an empty suitcase. He comes with favor. And he's pulling the strings and he's setting the stage in the background for breakthrough. He did this for her. He's doing it for you. He's backing Esther up, even though she can't feel him or see him. When Esther revealed that she was a Jew and that the murder spree Haman had called for had actually been against her, I want you to see what happened. It's in Esther 7:7-8. And the king rose from the feast in his wrath. He got so mad he stood up, he couldn't sit down, and he stomped off. Anybody ever done that? This is what the king did. He was so mad he stomped off. And he went to the palace garden. And while he's out there, Haman realized, uh-oh. This is an uh-oh moment for him. This is turned against me, and they're going to realize what I tried to do. So Haman stood up to make a request for his life to Queen Esther. And so even though this is the one he was trying to get killed, all of a sudden he turned. Oh, you know how people are. Come on, you know how fickle people are. All of a sudden he wants to be Esther's best friend. And so, you know, he's appealing to her because he could see, uh-oh, King mad. And when King mad, we get sad. Because he's going to start killing. So when the king walks back in out of the garden, you see this. Now, boy, it's better than any soap opera here. When the king walks back in out of the garden, hey, here's Haman. He's been laid up on her couch. He's trying to beg her for his life. And when he come in, it looked like to the king that Haman is trying to molest the woman. Okay, he approaching her in a wrong way. And so I want to tell you what that is. That's a favor of God. Okay. When the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the drinking of the wine, he came back into the bar room. Haman was falling upon the couch where Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he even forcibly assault the queen in my presence, in my own palace?" And as the king spoke the words, a servant covered Haman's face. Now I want to tell you where they protected him from seeing. No. This is culture now. When they covered your head, it meant you a dead man. That's what they did to people before they killed them. And they covered his head. That means you're a dead man. You see the favor of God here? I want to tell you, we describe the favor and the grace of God, the favor of God like this. A lot of times God will, but working behind the scenes for you, will put you at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, perfect timing. That's God. And he did this for her, making sure this evil man never saw daylight again. The very plan that Haman developed to destroy God's people was turned right side up. And that's what God loves to do in our lives. He loves to take things that look upside down and turn them right side up. That's the Jesus factor. That very plan to destroy others, he was destroyed in the process. The very hanging place that he designed for God's people, he died on. What an amazing, all-powerful, somebody say omnipotent. It means God's all-powerful. I want to tell you, it describes God's providence. And God's providence goes like this, is that because of covenant, God's promised to give you protective care, and he's promised to give you provision. You see that manifestation of that, that's God's providence. Does that make it simple for you? And so not only were the Jews preserved, but they were also given the right by law to defend themselves against all those who attacked them. Would the United Nations do the same? I got a big amen on that. Okay. Maybe you're not aware of all that's happening. Esther 9. Now in the 12th month, the month of Adar, on the 13th day of Adar, when the king's command and his edict were about to be executed, on the very day that the enemies of the Jews had planned for a massacre of them, it was turned to the contrary, and the Jews had ruled over all those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them. Somebody say the favor of God. The power of God. The presence of God. For the fear of them had fallen upon all the peoples. See, God's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He can cause the tables to turn. The way people are one way, he can turn their hearts another way. I want to tell you, he does this for covenant. His promise of provision are for those in covenant. His promise of protection are for those in covenant. Is anybody understanding? All this because of a very present, all-knowing, all-powerful God. I want to announce something to you. Great victory. And that's what Jesus has promised for you. He will always lead us into triumph. Great victory. And this day of their would-be genocide became a day of celebration that's still celebrated around the world by the Jewish people called Purim. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, right now. We're closing up right now. Esther and these Jews went from surviving to absolute thriving because the Lord was right there with them. Even though they couldn't taste, feel, see, hear, or touch God. I'm announcing to you, let this go down deeply. He's behind the scenes in your life. He's turning everything around for your good and for his glory. And so when the question comes up in your mind, and sometimes it comes up like a megaphone, where is God in my battle to survive? Well, I want to tell you, he's very present. And he wants to bring you more than survive. He wants to bring you to thriving. He's a very present help in time of trouble. That's what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge. Somebody needs to say, he's my refuge. Somebody's saying right now that I'm so weak, I can't fight another day. Hey, it says God is my strength. Remember, he's all powerful. He's mighty. He's our rescue. He's very present. He's omniscient. He's very present. And he's a well-proved help. He's all-knowing. He knows how to bring me to the place of rescue. He knows how to set me free. Romans 8:28 says this, we are assured and know that God being a partner in our labor, that all things work together and are fitting into the plan for good. God is working everything out for our good. We are assured this. We have confidence. We have a faith confidence in this. We know it, that we know it, that we know it, even when the tunnel is dark, that God is not finished. And He's working behind the scenes. Okay? Working together or fitting this plan into our good for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. Wait a minute. I want to tell you, I hear people around the world claim this scripture. We live in all kind of ways, heart rebellious against God, and they get into Christ, and they say, oh, well, but He's working it out. He's working it out for my good, all things. Oh, wait a minute, no. This works for disciples. This don't work for rebellion. Now, it's easy to cure rebellion because of Jesus. It's a turning of the heart. But I want to tell you, people that are not walking with the Lord can't claim this scripture. People that don't know God can't claim this scripture. And they do. But I want to tell you, it's for those who love God and are called according to the design and purpose. And I had a preacher tell me one time, well, just what does that mean? And I said, well, it means that you love the Lord back. You're loving Him back with your life. Your lifestyle loving God. I wasn't going to tell you what his answer was. I will tell you. Because it just shows up how stupid religion can be. He said, well, I never promised to wear a white collar. It don't have anything to do with a white collar. It has to do with a heart toward God. Excuse me. I ain't gotten over that one yet. Even when you don't know, and I'm wrapping up right here. Even when you don't know with your senses, I'm telling you, His word is ever unfailing and true. God is there with you, even if you're disappointed in Him. Even if you're mad at Him. Even if you're sad toward Him because you can't see it by your calendar. Or He didn't do it your way or in the timetable or the way you wanted it. He's still at work. He's not offended by your humanness. He's at work with His unfailing love. He's chasing you down so He can work through every event and circumstance, work it out for your good and His glory. Amen. You may say in desperation, well, when is it going to turn around? I want my moment. Boy, I've heard people say that. I want my moment. I want my breakthrough. Well, way to go. Don't quit on that. But I want to announce something to you. It's already happened. Amen. And boy, when I say that to people, I go, what? No, man. What? No. That happened on the cross. Your moment happened on the cross. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, He was thinking of you. He won the victory of what you're going through right now in 22. He won it on the cross 2,000 years ago. Are you talking about my salvation, preacher? Yes, I am. I'm talking about your victory. That was your moment. That was your breakthrough. The Lord intervened in your life and guaranteed a life of blessing and breakthrough for you. But I want to tell you, a life of blessing and breakthrough for you does not mean that you won't have dark tunnels. Your all-knowing, always present, all-powerful Jesus loves you so much. He makes His promises true for you. He keeps His promises. The cross sealed it. And so our part is to be believing believers. When it looks like nothing's happening, believe. Have faith. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep your heart toward God. Soon and very soon, He's promised your breakthrough's on the way. He is our way of escape. That's your God. Can we pray for you right now? Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you chase us down daily with your loving kindness. Thank you that you chase us down with your goodness. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're being good to us even when we can't see it. Thank you, Lord, that even when we can't see you operating, you're setting the stage for breakthrough in our life. Lord, we give you praise. I pray in Jesus' name that the eyes of the hearts of your people will be open to see you in this beautiful story of Esther and how you rescued her and rescued the nation. How that, Lord, in the same way that's your heart to rescue us, to set us free from captivity, to set us free from the plans of evil. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've set us free to have increased blessing in our life, that your favor gives us favor not only with you but with man. And so, Lord, we pray for breakthrough. We pray that your increased blessing would be manifested. Thank you for your providence, your covenant protection, and your covenant provision for us. And so, Lord, we look to you, not to man. We look to you, not to medical science. Thank you, Lord, that you use science. Thank you, Lord, that you use man. But, Lord, our dependency is upon you. And we trust in you for divine protection and divine provision. Thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom. Thank you that you give us discernment. Thank you that your presence is here even when we don't recognize it. Lord, by faith, we know it's true. And we give you praise and we give you thanks. And Lord, our faith is toward your word because your word is ever true and ever faithful. Thank you that you see us through. And all the saints said, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Let's celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen and amen.